There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There we go. Probably not a good way to start off a podcast, but holy shit, am I annoyed by everybody today.
Well, you're trying to quit vaping. How's that going?
Awful. Actually, really good, because I'm still vaping.
It's not going well, is it?
No, it's just I'm fucking annoyed by everybody today. It's one of those days where you wake up and you're like, I'm annoyed.
Well, you were annoyed with me.
Unlike those people. Still annoyed with you, actually.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Lachlan Uninterruptus. Every single conversation we had to start the show today, even before we started, you'd ask me a question, I'd start talking, and then you'd change the subject and ask a different question. I was like, okay.
All right, Deborah.
You do that with your wife too? Do you have ADHD or something?
I actually have not been officially diagnosed, but there have been a couple of people in my life.
It's unbelievable. Dude, you are like JoJo.
That I should have Adderall.
All of it. We start the show today. We haven't even started the show. So we get on. I love you, and I'm annoyed on top of being annoyed by your.
There's a lot of things going
ADHD.
On.
Yeah,
a lot of things going on in your life.
You right ask now. Me a question, and you do this all the fucking time. You ask me a question and you're like, hey, what about this? And I'll start answering it. And you go, okay, wait. I got something else to say. And you bring up something else and I go, oh, all right. Okay. All right. And then you start down that road and then you go back and you ask the other question again. And then you ask a totally different question in the middle of that answer. So it's like you never even really get an answer for anything. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever you like today.
If anybody would like to come on the show and do a little counseling for Dean and I, we'd be willing to accept your application. Please send us a DM in Twitter.
No, I accept your character flaws. You accept mine. That's why we're friends.
I think that's
just
good,
annoyed that's today.
Healthy.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It is. Yeah. Yesterday we got into a domestic to start the actual show.
I'm trying not to push your buttons because I know, like I had to quit smoking and I remember how I was.
Like I was saying when I just years. Like 2 seconds ago when you interrupted me again. Yesterday we got into a domestic. You did it fucking again. You just do it all the time. You just fucking hammer your way through a conversation. Someone starts talking and you just keep going. Have you always been like that? Where's your wife? Can I talk to her for a minute? I need some fucking help.
Bring the guests on.
No, I want them to watch this. These are a young group of people from Red Bulls.
You can make it.
From a Red Bull show called.
They don't work for Red Bull.
No, I know they don't. Okay, oh, Jesus, right. Dude, I'm trying to get through it again. You're interrupting me. Red Bull, can you make it?
It's a reality show. And
yes. You know what? You do it.
Hey, listen.
No, I'm out.
You're doing a great job.
I'm out. I'm going to save myself the hassle.
You're doing a great job.
No. I'm going to let you run the show. You go ahead.
Okay, guys, we're going to get you to go around the horn.
No. Guys, don't say anything. This is the A-Team from the Red Bull Can You Make It group. It's a big show. It's coming up. Don't say anything. All three of you, don't say a word. This is professional development for my friend Lachlan. We have their names. I have their names here. They gave us their names, right? It's part of preparation for a program. We've got these three beautiful young people that are on the show that are partaking in an incredible game show with Red Bull. Now, you go ahead and introduce them by name.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
This is my point.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to be able to do that. I know Addy.
Because you don't pay attention.
And I don't pay attention. And hold on. But also there's another reason.
Yeah.
Addie and I have a connection through her mom, Lisa. And I know her name is Adeline. And I know her mom is a yogi and she runs Kootenai Yoga School. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I know about these two young men that are joining her because they're on that Red Bull team. But the problem is they live in Christina Lake and they were raised by hippies. And I have no idea where to start with their names. I think Sasha's one.
Yeah.
And then Christianio or something like that.
No.
Kostya. I can do Christianio. That works.
Okay. All right. I knew I was going to mess it up. That's why I was going to get them to go around the horn. It's a hack.
No, see, it's not a hack. You can learn that
from me, Dean.
Yeah. See, now here's the thing.
It's a broadcasting hack. When you don't know their names, you get them to.
It's not a broadcasting hack. That's called being unprepared and not giving a shit. That's what that's called. And I appreciate that about you, actually, because it's given us the first 5 minutes of this podcast. So thank you. I found content. Please welcome to the program the A-Team from Red Bulls. Can you make it? Sasha, Kostya, and Addie, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give them a hand. Nice to see you guys. How are you? Where are you guys? You said Christina Lake, BC, not far from where my friend Lachlan grew up. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
None of us are from here, though.
What are you doing there, then?
We're
draft
here.
Dodgers.
That was totally random.
We just happen to have a place to live here, and everywhere else is really expensive to live.
This is what Gen Z's doing. They can't live in the cities anymore, so they go live in the bush.
Are you guys hippies? Are you hippies or the sons and daughters of hippies? Is that why you're in Christina Lake? Just a quick question.
Oh, we'll eat some mushrooms, but no. Well,
not really. We all run like our own little business here.
Oh, what is it?
I run like a nonprofit where we host charity events to build up like local communities.
Yeah,
and my brother. Awesome. Yeah. I'm a filmmaker, so I have kind of a tiny independent film studio.
Addie, what do you do?
Big yoga school. Mostly in Mexico and California, but then every once in a while we come back here to see family and hang out.
So yeah, you and your mom and your family started the Kootenai Yoga School out of BC, but it has grown, right? And I'm going to the Joshua Tree one at the beginning of May. Where's the school in Mexico?
It's on Isla Mujeres, which is on the east coast.
I've seen a lot of pictures. It looks absolutely just gorgeous. Just stunning. You'll
have to come back and go to that one.
Yeah. This is some like three like highly successful young people here, Dean. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Total. Well, now they're laughing at you because they're like, well, we're really that successful.
When you guys were doing the interview, I was like, this is a foreshadowing for how our team is going to function.
Already.
Everything. Yeah. It's just fight.
We don't like to plan things. No, I like to plan
things. He likes to plan
things. These two don't like them. It's very spontaneous.
You know what? And let me just address that, Sasha, Addie. That's a bullshit excuse you guys use, leaving Kostya with all the work. We don't like planning. That's what Lachlan does to people around him too. He's like, listen, I don't know any of these people. You need to do all this stuff for me. And what it is him saying, I don't really want to do any of that work. You go ahead and do it. And then he just kind of rides along. So I'm understanding, Kostya, you're kind of the team leader of the A team. Is that correct?
So the team captain was actually officially me. And then Addie kind of stole that title by accident. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing all the work.
I know how you feel, Kostya. I know how you feel. No, I know how you feel.
You guys may want to work that out before you head to Europe.
Yeah. No. Now tell me about this, because if you're the team captain, I want to learn a little bit about what it is you're doing. Red Bulls, can you make it? What I've read is actually kind of fascinating, and we'll just kind of look at the overview. Three Canadian kids partaking in the adventure of a lifetime, teams from around the world, 7 days, travel across Europe using only Red Bull cans as currency. Team members need to exchange Red Bull cans for everything they need, food, a place to sleep, transportation, everything else, to get to the finish line in Berlin. Where does it start is the second question. The first question is, how did you guys meet and how did you get involved in this Red Bull game show?
So, every time they ask us that when we're crossing a border or flying into somewhere and they say, where do you guys know each other from? We're like,
Good question.
They grew up in China. I grew up in Mexico.
We grew up in China. She grew up in Mexico. We kind of met through mutual friends, but like mutual friends. And then we kind of just like crossed paths and hung out a little bit more. So we're kind of strangers and not at the same time. It's a weird relationship. But yeah, and then
strange.
I have no idea.
And then
we're good friends.
We're already there's already infighting here, Locke. These guys are like, we're great friends, and one guy's like, I barely know these people.
I knew your passport number.
Okay, so I would say me and Addy know each other better than this is my twin brother.
The better than you two know each other.
So I would say
no problem.
We live in the same house, but we don't actually see each other ever.
Okay, so you guys are related. Kostya and Sasha, you guys are related. You're brothers, you're twins, fraternal twins. Okay, I get it. Okay, and Addy, you're just that, the friend of
I'm
theirs.
I'm also ginger, so I'm one of the twins.
Oh, you're a redhead?
Three gingers.
Well, are you guys all gingers?
Ginger personality. It's different from having a ginger.
All right. And how old are you guys?
We're all 23. Oh, no.
We're 24.
We just turned 24 a couple days ago.
All right. Good. I have a 24-year-old son. This is very eye-opening for me already. This is great. Yeah. Is he single? Yeah, he's sitting right there. He's a good-looking cat, too. He's
bring him on.
Yeah. So I'll introduce you to him on email.
Yes, that's the way you meet all the good boys.
Addy, yeah. You can Snapchat him or whatever the fucking kids do. I'd rather email. Okay, yeah, I'll give you his email address after. Really smart kid, good kid, really good musician, that kind of stuff. You'll love it. After you guys get married, you're going to win this whole thing. And sorry, Locke, you were going to say something? You wanted to ask a question?
No, I was just going to say, I am curious about where this thing starts. So, yeah. And do you guys have an idea like what the route is, or do they just drop you into Berlin and away you go?
No. Yeah,
we get dropped into one of five
locations.
Cities.
Yeah, one of five cities. I think it's Budapest, Copenhagen, Milan, Barcelona, and Amsterdam. So we get dropped in one of those five. We still don't know yet. And it's about who can make it, not about who can make it to Berlin first, but how you make it to Berlin. So there's checkpoints and challenges along the way where you can get points. And part of the point system is how well you can blog. And that's where Kosi comes in.
Okay,
so there's a major social media component to this too.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so they provide us with a phone. We're not allowed to have our own phone or wallet with us, but they provide us with a phone that we have to document our adventure with, and it goes onto an app so anyone else can kind of track us live. At each time we upload, they'll be able to see it immediately if they follow our team.
Okay, so the premise is there's teams from around the world. How many teams are involved in this thing?
80. I think 100, 180 something.
What?
Over 100, I think.
Oh, well, there's 60 countries, over 60 countries, and each country has probably between 1 and 4 teams, except for like the US. Brazil and US have like 20 teams.
No, Brazil has 4.
8.
Okay, well, the US has 20.
We don't know.
Sounds like our podcast, actually. It's fascinating listening to you guys. Nobody knows what's going on or what's happening.
I think that's part of the thing is like Red Bull doesn't tell us anything. So they just throw us in and we kind of
see. This is where me and Addy thrive because we never know anything and we just go with
we
it.
Book
we don't
while we're at the airport. I'm like, oh, who booked the
flight? I've done that.
That's amazing.
Okay, so
how did you guys get into the show?
Yeah.
So it started with an Instagram ad, actually. I think I was at Addy's house. No, I was maybe in bed or something. And I was just scrolling, and on Instagram, there's this ad. And I was like, oh, that looks fun. I click on it. And then I sent it into both my brother and Addy. And I was like, let's do this. And then the next day, we started shooting
got the whiteboard out.
Yeah, we got the whiteboard out. Yeah, actually, that night, we got the whiteboard out. And then the next week we started shooting and then submitted our application video and then
good for you guys.
Months later we got in.
That's awesome. So you apply, you get in on a lark, cool. Now you guys are a team in this Red Bull challenge. It's going to take you around Europe, got to get to Berlin first. The only currency you have are Red Bull cans. what happens if you can't trade? Like, is there a camera crew following you guys around, or is it just you guys? What happens if you're like, I'm fucking starving and all I have is like five cans of Red Bull and no one's, and you go, hey, can I get trade you this for a hot dog? And some guy's like, go fuck yourself. Or it's like, hey, I'm tired. I haven't slept. What's that? Nobody drinks. What did you say?
It's hard to trade Red Bulls.
It is. It's, well, my point is this, is that no matter how delicious a drink it is, no matter who loves the drink, not a lot of people are getting ready to like, oh, wait a second, energy drink for night's accommodations. No big deal.
You gotta find another hot dog guy.
So yeah, is there a contingency plan, or is it like, here's your cans of Red Bull. We'll see in a couple months if you make it.
You carry around like an envelope with your phone and wallet for safety measures, and with the phone they provide, you can always contact them. But if you open the envelope, you're disqualified. So. We're not doing that.
Also, there's a desperation piece here, Locke, right? There's where it's like, you can get out of jail here. You can go buy yourself a nice scone and get a good night's sleep and a shower. Yeah, but like, you're done if you do.
Real tough, a few days in, there's like temptations that just like leave our money with us. But no, we're not doing that.
No, dude, good. That's incredible.
We're good homeless. Well, at least I'm a good homeless kid.
We've all been like homeless, experienced homelessness. Yeah.
we've all been.
So this is an interesting challenge, and they're obviously filming it. Do you guys know how we can watch it in Canada and when it'll be available? Like, it's going to be taped through the summer, and then it'll be available in the fall, kind of a thing? Do you have a rough idea?
It's live tracking.
Yeah, so if you go to redbullcanyoumakeit.com, like that website you came up, I think that on May 21st to 28th, you're going to be able to actually track each team, and we're going to have to upload our own vlogs every day onto this website. So I think that's one way you can watch us. The other way, I'm not too sure yet. They might produce like a show they did in 2016 and submit it in the summer.
They have a fifth team representing Canada who's not actually competing in this challenge. They're the influencer team, and so they're the ones who are like actually properly documenting the whole journey, and then they're taking footage from whatever
How do we follow your guys' adventure on this? Do you have like an Instagram or anything set up? Outside of Red Bull.
Well, I mean, our Instagrams, like, we are posting about it and as it comes up, and we're doing little challenges right now. But during the actual event, you can go to the website and find the A-team, kind of like you did where our description and photo would have been. Mm-hmm. And then there you'll be able to track the videos that we upload each day.
This is fun. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
I think you guys are going to do well.
No kidding. You know what I love too is I love the fact that that this group is diverse. I love the fact that, you know, as diverse as fraternal twins can be. I love the fact that two of them have no fucking clue what's going on, and they're involved in it, and they're going to give a few weeks to go to Europe. I love the fact that it's like it sounds hard. It sounds like you're going to have to make some decisions in the moment. And I also love the fact you've got some homeless experience too, because it sounds like it's going to come in handy.
Yeah.
And Addy, your story is interesting too. Not to tell tales out of school, but you've undergone some serious, serious struggles physically in the past several years to put yourself in this position, right?
Oh my goodness, did my mom tell you that I almost died or something?
She sold you out. She sold you out, so proud of you and how tough you are, having like neck reconstruction surgery, apparently. Like, you're one of the toughest young ladies around, zero fear, because you've been through some stuff. So tell us about that a little bit before you take off, because we love a good underdog story over here, Addy.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's hard to tell if I was crazier before or after my accident, because people are always like, she's got brain damage. But then, like, looking back, I'm like, I think I was always a little bit of a nut. But yeah, in 2021, I was in an accident and in the hospital for 3 months in the ICU. And I got a lot of brain surgeries and a lot of neck surgeries and my wrists and all the things. I didn't shit for 18 days.
I love it when people tell surgery stories. It's always like, I didn't shit for guess how long.
Yeah, I almost died. I got a reconstructed neck and back. But the real pain in the ass was I couldn't take a dump for 2 weeks.
And when because I was having some troubles with like my skull healing back up over after the surgery. And so they had to drain all my brain juice out. And when you go like this, if you don't have brain juice in your brain, that really hurts. And they were getting me to like roll over and do things. And that was painful.
Wow.
But it was an experience.
Yeah. 2021. So
she's still mom. Not one most people want to experience, but yeah.
Yeah. No, but you were in rough shape. It was touch and go, according to your mom, from what I hear from Lachlan, for a while. And you went through all of it, multiple surgeries, not knowing how you'd be when you were done. You know, fast forward a couple of years later, there you are with a big, beautiful smile on your face. You got two of your buddies next to you and you're getting ready to go to Europe to do something really hard again. Right. So how do you feel? You feel like, you know, what you went through, because I love a good resilience story, right? What you went through really kind of prepared you for some of this kind of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, being in the accident, I think the hardest part was just being in the hospital and seeing all my friends out doing all these fun things. And I was like, whittling away, dying in the hospital, basically. So I'm glad to be back to where I was on my adventures. Mm. And
awesome.
Yeah, you should see her now. She's running marathons. She's partaking in all these pretty high endurance extreme sports. She's killing it in all kinds of way. Back stronger and better than ever.
Oh, that's good.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Good for you, Addy.
Well, good for you, Addy. Listen, guys, all the best to you. Don't forget, you can follow these guys, and we'll put the link in the description so you can have a look. The Red Bull Can You Make It? I think it's redbullcanyoumakeit.com, if I'm not mistaken. Sasha, is that correct? You got that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
redbullcanyoumakeit.com. It is the A team, EH, of course, little play on Canada. And really, guys, wish you the best of luck. Hopefully you can check in with us from time to time. Let us know if anything crazy happens, but we'd love to help document what you're doing and give you nothing but best wishes as you guys head to Europe. All of you, all three of you. You guys are smart young people, big smiles. Go enjoy yourselves, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, guys. Yeah, we'll see you in Joshua Tree. I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Are you going to be there, Addy? Are you going to be there, Joshua Tree? Oh, yeah. Okay. I need you to do me a favor. I'm going to give you my phone number, and you're going to Yeah. It's coming. you're going to send me videos of Lachlan at the vegan rave disco party.
Hell yeah! All the down dogs. All the
Yeah. Yeah, and you're gonna follow him. And you're gonna follow him around. You're gonna be a spy because I don't know how he's gonna do it, but he can't drink for 2 weeks, and I'm really excited to see his face if he can't drink for 2 weeks. So I need a little spy at the Joshua Tree camp. Yeah, no, she's not gonna sneak booze in for you. It's not allowed. Her mom owns it. It's not allowed.
My mom, okay, if she was there, she would.
Yeah, I'll be drinking with Lisa.
She's got a beer shed. You guys can hang out.
Is she really? She's got a little alcohol shed.
She told me she's got a bungalow full of booze.
Oh,
so all I'm right. covered. Yeah. I'm taking all right. care. I'll find it.
Addy, guys,
I'm really looking forward to seeing you. And good luck on this Red Bull challenge, guys. We're cheering for you.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Be well.
All right.
The A team from the Red Bull. Can You Make a Challenge? I kind of like the idea. I think it's going to be fun.
It's hilarious.
Right.
I you know what? I didn't know anything about this show until Addy's mom sent me a note about it. And I did a little bit of research, and it has been around for a while, but I didn't know anything about it. Very cool.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
There's some cool little Gen Zs there. You are like, I have daughters. They're the same age. You have boys around the same age. So it's good. It's cool. Right.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for them. I think it's great. Anytime you support a Canadian team doing something kind of fun. Right. And Red Bull is one of those brands that everything they do is actually, you know, it's grassroots. It's kind of fun, but it'll be interesting to see if these guys can actually make their way from wherever they get dropped off to Berlin, literally just trading cans of Red Bull with people. Got to be a sales guy or girl, right? You got to, hey, if they give you this, it's like a limited edition.
I think you got to be lucky.
Like a sales pitch. You got to, yeah, you got to meet the right people. You got to put on like a, we're hungry, we're starving, we're part
of this thing.
That's all I do. I'd go through, no, fuck, I'd never do that. Ever.
When did you get introduced to Red Bull?
Oh, years ago when it came out. I'm not an energy drink guy. And I say that knowing that, that Red Bull, you know, we just had people on for Red Bull. Addy also said some stuff for Red Bull in that thing.
She said so, it's going to be hard. It's hard to trade things for Red Bull. And she's not lying. I mean, it's a difficult task, right?
Did you see the shit look that she got from Sasha? He's like, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, don't get angry with the client. Don't make our Red Bull overlords angry. I'm like, that guy understands corporate America already.
He knows how to make this work. Yeah. So my first experience with Red Bull was a Foo Fighters show at Pete's Palace in Toronto. It was one of those radio junkets, music.
Oh, it was Lee's Palace, not Pete's
Lee's Palace. Sorry. Yeah. Lee's Palace.
I was there.
Like, I know we talked about this. So that night I went with the morning show host from Power 97 at the time, Dave Wheeler. And we get to the bar and he goes, hey, have you ever had a Jager bomb? And I'm like, no, never heard of it. He goes, well, we're drinking Jager bombs tonight and I'm buying. Thanks for taking me. So I proceed to have, I don't know, 10, 12 of them. Three o'clock in the morning, I get up and I think I'm having a medical emergency. I call my wife and I'm like, I think there's something wrong with me.
Your wife.
I thought I was dying.
There's hangovers. There's fucking energy drinks, dude.
Yeah, dude. I didn't know what Red Bull was. I didn't know what a Jager bomb was. I'd never heard of it. It was like 2004, 2005, something like that. My heart literally was like, and I'm sitting like in my underwear on the end of the bed.
And you thought you were coding. You thought this is it. It's coming for me. I'm having a grabber.
Yeah.
Dude, I have like,
my wife was like,
I have 20 friends like you. Because that'll help. No, dude. You need an Ativan, maybe six of them, some lorazepam, and you need about 40 liters of water after that.
I didn't sleep. I was up for the rest of the night. I packed my stuff, went to the airport, and I felt like that for about 12 hours, like where I thought, just flopped sweats on the plane.
Yeah, dude. Take nothing away from Red Bull. I know a lot of people like it. Vodka Red Bull, gin and Red Bull, rye and Red Bull. I've seen people do that. Boilermakers with Red Bull. I've seen all of it. I've seen everybody put all kinds of alcohol with Red Bull. And it doesn't matter what it is. If it's an energy drink, and you're going to dummy some alcohol, and then you're going to speed up your heart with this ginseng-loaded sugar rush.
Yeah,
you're going to have heart palpitations if you have 12 of them. It's just part of the deal.
Trust me, it works. You want to see if you've got a strong heart at 35 or whatever.
Yeah. And take nothing. Again, I am not a Red Bull guy. I just don't drink it. And I don't drink energy drinks. Alcohol, that's not true. I had an old fashioned again yesterday. I don't drink any of that stuff. And it's only because it's like, fuck, why would I do that? Why would I impede my process in life? Why would I give myself a bunch of sugar and calories I don't eat? So it's just soda water for me. And I think everybody would be happy if you had a vodka soda water instead of a vodka Red Bull, even though it is fucking delicious when you put vodka and Red Bull together. But then you have like 12 of them. And if you're a drinker, you're like, and that's when the scaries come to town. Because that's like, it's not just the flop sweats and your heart palpitating.
Well, I'm not a
sugar
guy.
It also comes with extreme anxiety, too, which a lot of people are like, I don't need that in my life.
I'll have one now, because now I know what it is, right? I'll have one or two.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have 12, right? That was the damage I did to myself that night, right?
Speaking of people that drink too much, have you seen the videos going around of one Pierre Poilievre, leader of the
old PP?
official opposition peepee, showing up to a Fuck Trudeau homeless encampment in Nova Scotia, apparently all pissed up.
I have a theory on this. I have a theory.
Dude, I've really tried to back off of labeling people recently. Really have. And don't need to dunk on people. But I need to kind of preface what we're going to play for you with a couple of things. One of them is there are a lot of normal people that believe in conservatism. There are a lot of normal people that believe in liberalism, right? Lots of them. Lots of normal people who believe that, you know, this is where I align politically, emotionally, socially with conservatives. This is where I align politically with Democrats or liberals. Like you got, and totally fine. People, but then you've got the tip of the spear on both sides, right? Yeah. I call them the freak right and the freak left. So we have the extremes on both poles, right? Yeah. The freak right has been co-opted as well as the freak left. The freak right has been co-opted by the Conservative Party of Canada to be their army of unknowing participants who generally are too stupid to understand what's going on. And they think they're fucking LARPing for something. Same thing with the freaks on the left, the freak left, the Dina Sharifs, the Joe Morans, these people that show up with, you know, bandanas in every fucking single protest just to go, we're here to stand up for inclusivity and acceptance. And then they beat the shit out of each other and call each other names and fucking freak right, freak left. You follow me, right? We're all on the same page. So the freak right, portions of the freak right that have been co-opted by Pierre Poilievre, which they have, and the Conservative Party of Canada, are conducting these homeless encampment protests about attacks across Canada. So you got a couple little ones in BC. You got several in Alberta at the border cities. You've got some in Ontario, some in Manitoba, and you've got some out east. Now, the one out east is in that we're going to play for you, that Pierre Poilievre was at, just outside of Malpec, Nova Scotia. Okay? These people are Easterners from Nova Scotia that are camping out at the side of the road to protest Justin Trudeau, protest for Pierre Poilievre. So, last night, Pierre Poilievre goes to this freak right homeless encampment where they're flying the Fuck Trudeau flags. They're sleeping in their cars. Sleeping in their trailers. And Pierre Poilievre shows up completely disheveled. Completely disheveled, unannounced, walks around, calls people soy boys, suggests everything Justin Trudeau says is, quote, bullshit, okay, which may be true. I don't know.
What's a soy boy?
It's a slang for a gay person, a homosexual, soy boy. That's what the freak right calls people that...
I've heard that expression.
Oh, yeah, it's a big one. He's like, what's a soy boy? Oh, that's so funny. They're all soy boys. So you know, he's making homophobic statements. He's clearly disheveled. And rumor has it from people on the ground, he smelled a little like alcohol. Now, the videos themselves are fascinating, okay? Because everybody, and I mean everybody, from people in his party to Joe Average, to media outlets that think that Pierre Poilievre's got a chance to be the next prime minister. They're panning this morning because a couple of terrorist organizations have representation there as well. Now, deemed terrorist organizations by this government, so take it for what you will, Diagonal would be that organization that we speak of.
They have been deemed a terrorist organization by the federal government of Canada.
Canada is run by a whole bunch of people that think everybody that disagrees with them is a terrorist organization, but Diagonal is generally a fruitless exercise full of angry assholes who may or may not have military experience, who just like to be pricks to everybody, right? They just hate Canada, hate everything about it, hate you, hate me, hate themselves, drink themselves into fucking oblivion.
then get on a podcast and start talking about how much they don't like people who aren't white and old stock Canadians are the best and we need to take our country back from all these immigrants. That's what Diagonal is.
There is a tinge of racism in some of the clips I've seen of their podcast.
That's well put.
They definitely, listen, whether you agree with it or not, and, you know,
agree with what?
Go down that road, that what they represent. I don't think it's a horrible idea.
That's why I use the caveat of, like, take it for what it's worth. The government has told us that they are terrorists, right?
But at the same time, I don't think it's a horrible idea for our government to maybe just casually keep an eye on this organization.
Yeah. Just keep tabs on them just in case. Like,
they appear to be angry and well-armed.
If they're moving around, maybe. Yeah, Not a bad idea to find out where they're living and
just a bunch of fucking guys that collect EI that like to go target shooting and do it wasted all the time. That's what they like to think you are.
And you can have whatever opinion you want about the video Dean's about to play. But our politics has become extreme on either side, right? That's it. And we've highlighted that countless times on this podcast. And it is definite. If you're a diehard liberal person and you're out, you know, you're donating to the cause and you're out in the streets defending, you're probably on the side of extremism, you know? Yeah. Right. There's an element to it. And if you're at a border crossing, if you're at Coots camping in your parents' motorhome from 1976, your inheritance from when your family lost the farm. If you're at Coots living in that and digging a hole in the prairies to shit, you might be an extremist.
Maybe. Right? If you choose to,
probably a great person.
I'll play this video. If you choose to sleep in your car for 23 days,
you may
with a whole bunch of other people who clearly don't own a fucking toothbrush. And you like to take a dump in a bag and you do it because you just don't want a carbon tax rebate. You might be an extremist. You might be a fucking moron too. Anyway, here's the video of Pierre Poilievre walking out of the Diagonal trailer. And he gets a tour of one of the...
He's getting a tour of the encampment? No.
No, but wait, it's funnier. He gets a tour not just of...
Why do we have video
of the inside of the trailer. He gets a tour of the outside of the trailer. And a couple of guys want to show him where they sleep. And they point to the trunk of a Chevy Corsica. Let's watch this together, everybody.
We got a diesel heater in there. We got the donations from everybody that's been stopped by in there.
It's cold.
There he is. He's in there. Listen to these geniuses.
Oh.
Listen. Look at how fucking disheveled the guy is.
Are you guys getting a shower?
Yeah, a big shower.
This is where I sleep. He's walking through the upside down Canadian flag, the fuck Trudeau flag. This guy's going to take him to his condo. His condo appears to be a Dodge Journey.
That's where I sleep.
And that's where he sleeps in his trunk.
Oh, yeah. I did a few snow sculptures here when we had.
Look at this guy, dude. And then you got the guy with the tats and the weird do-rag and the other guy. He's like, hey, I sleep here. And he's like, I don't give a shit where you sleep, dude. He doesn't engage him, doesn't ask him why he's sleeping in there. He's doing this so he can take these videos and share them around and say, look how broken Canada is. I went and talked to these people. But here's the catch. He's gotten help coordinating this, and he's got people that have coordinated all of these around the country, including this one in Nova Scotia. He really? Shows up. Oh, yeah, dude, this is all fucking coordinated. All of these protests are coordinated. Every single one of them got their marching orders as to where to go, what to do. And then PP and his group go down there. They create these videos, make it look like there's homeless encampments all over Canada, misrepresent Canada being broken, which it is not. Now, the fucking great part about this is other media outlets across North America and the United States, Canada,
in Europe, The Guardian, a whole bunch of news organizations are talking about how Canada is broken now as well, because they take these after they organize them and they feed them to cocksuckers like Alex Jones, those guys, and then they start repeating it and then that catches on. So this is all a work. None of this is real. None of this is real. These guys have chosen to sleep in their cars. None of these people are fucking homeless. And Pierre Poilievre shows up unannounced so he can get some greasy video to make Canada look like shit yet again. Canada is not broken. It's a great country. We just have a couple of drama queens that are running for prime minister. And this one, according to some people, it's pretty nice fucking cars for homeless people. And some of these people, and this is fascinating, and I've got multiple reports from people, and it's not just from this one, did not know he was coming. And when he showed up, some of the people noticed that he smelled like alcohol.
I'm not going to judge.
Anyway, let's watch him engage again. Quote, use these people for clicks.
Oh, yeah, he's going around putting snow sculptures out, painting hearts.
Yeah, right through that little hole. Wow.
You close the trunk.
Oh, okay. Put my legs through.
Crazy when they see it, right?
I know.
Look at this kid.
So that way you can keep the
there's kids there.
Make it easier for
him. Did you hear that kid? That kid sleeping in his fucking car.
Is he an idiot? I don't know. That sums it up. I got a theory on this. You know what?
I'm done with the videos. I got to get to your theory after the videos.
Let me just throw this out there.
All right.
Do you think PP might be lonely?
That's why he was like hammered, and he and his wife got in a scrap last night. She's like too drunk to taste this chicken. He's like, I'm gonna go meet some friends, and he shows up to the homeless fuck Trudeau encampment.
You know, it's a theory.
Maybe. I do. I think he's lonely. I do.
He might be lonely. He might just be looking for a new group of friends, Dean.
Well, he's got no friends. That's the thing.
He has
no friends. I know people that know him. He's fucking absolutely hated by everybody in his party that doesn't have something to gain by him winning. Hated. He has no friends.
Is he that guy?
Yeah, he's that guy. He's that little puke that you used to see sitting in the lunchroom all the time in his polo shirt.
Does have that vibe.
That everybody used to love to slap on the way by to gym class. Like that. He's got that vibe.
Oh, my God.
But he also loves to tip a few. And here's him again yesterday talking to one of the organizers. And I want you to note. Axe the tax protest. Fuck Trudeau, axe the tax protest.
So, the convoy had a name and everything, and it was branded well. At least they did that okay.
No, these guys are fucking morons. Anyway, he goes down and he's like, I'm here to have a drink with you guys. So he sits back and he starts talking to one of the organizers, and the organizer is like, you know what? We got a guy here who's been here all 23 days. This is so important to him. He abandoned his wife, who's going through chemo. Let's watch it together, shall we?
In the morning, there's an old man that comes here. He's in his 70s. He parks up there at his Crown Vic at probably 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Puts his cannon flag on, gets his car ready until we wake up here around probably 7:38. He comes down. His wife's doing chemo.
Did you hear that? He's like, we got a guy that comes down here. He gets his flags out. He doesn't care. And his wife's doing chemo. That's how important it is. And that's what this man and his party have convinced these guys to do, is abandon their families, show up to these rallies all across Canada, camp out like a bunch of fucking homeless rejects, sleep there and pretend to be homeless, all because they don't like the carbon tax. Absolutely fucking 100% inconsequential to the way any of these people live, because I'm guessing not many file fucking tax returns. So as we sit and watch these videos, keep in mind there are several of them. I want people to remember something. Okay.
I've got no issue with any of these individuals. In fact, I feel incredibly sorry for all of them.
It's kind of like, sad.
Incredibly sorry for them. They have been convinced and co-opted and radicalized by what appears to be, allegedly, according to my sources, some pissed drunk fuck who's never had a real job, whose only goal is to use mentally unwell people on the freak right to paint Canada as broken. And he's doing a really fucking great job of it. Really great job. And you know, the fascinating part of this whole thing for me, dude, is it's the same people every single time that show up to these things. Same people who are just like, man, we're really tired. You know, like we're really sick and tired of being treated poorly. We're really sick and tired of what we don't understand. And that's those people. Class. That's everybody. This is the victim class. But in a lot of cases, these people are emotionally and mentally unwell.
What's the end game? Like I would want to know, like, you know, like when I get involved in something, I kind of want to have an idea of where we're going. Right. Like you kind of have to, there has to be a benefit to,
like, in a movement. You mean like if you get involved in a movement, you'd like to know, hey, what's the end goal here? Yeah.
Like anything, like we're doing some filming this weekend for a show that we're doing called Grease Fire. Right. We got a cooking show. We've hooked up with Motley Q and Aaron from Meat and myself, and they're going to teach me how to cook. We're going to film a bunch of episodes on Sunday. And we sat down and we had 3 or 4 meetings beforehand to come up with a concept. Why are we doing this? There's some structure to the show, right? There's an end game. There's like, what does everybody want from this? We had that discussion. Right. Like we sat Aaron down and went, you know, I have a brand, The Locker Room, and Motley Q has a brand. They do spices and rubs and barbecue schools and things like that. So he's trying to come up with a, you know, something to, there's just some thought in it. We're just mad at Justin Trudeau. Doesn't go anywhere. Right. Like, it just doesn't have a
point.
Yeah. Like, what are purpose? You doing there? Like, okay.
I'll tell you what they're doing there. I've said this, I don't know how many times. It's the same reason the Dina Charisse and the Joe Morans and all the freaks with blue hair show up with trans flags and megaphones and hitting people with sticks to try to fucking affect change. It's the same thing. Is that you have two political parties. One has soft co-opted a bunch of freaks on the freak left. And then you've got one that is hard co-opted, a bunch of freaks on the freak right. Mm-hmm. And these freaks, in a lot of cases, are not just people who are just angry. They're emotionally and mentally unwell, right? And I want to prove that point. I'm going to prove that point with what happened with Alec Baldwin yesterday. Did you see this video?
This is community for them too, right? Yeah. The Alec Baldwin thing is,
here's the thing, is that they will go in and use anybody, right? They'll use anybody. And when I say they, I mean the left and the right, political interests, religious interests, people who are trying to drive some kind of fucking narrative. They'll use any mentally unwell person, any emotionally unwell person to prove some kind of weird point. And what Pierre Poilievre is trying to prove to people is that Canada is a shithole full of unemployed assholes who don't brush their teeth. That's all I got out of that. That's all I got out of that. The Alec Baldwin video that is going around is proof that it happens on the left as well, where you've got people that are co-opting the emotionally and mentally unwell around Gaza, Israel, and a number of other things. This video about Alec Baldwin's fascinating. He's in a coffee shop in New York, okay? In the coffee shop in New York, just ordering coffee. By the way, he looks like that drunk grandpa.
He's had some stress in his life. Yeah. Looks like he's wearing it.
Still trying to figure out how he gets out of that rust shooting. And, you know, he's beat up a few people.
Civil case.
Yeah, he does. So he's underneath it. And say what you like about Alec Baldwin. I'm not saying Alec Baldwin's a great guy. But again, this is the end result of political institutions, people
different governments, misinformation, disinformation, literally co-opting mentally unwell people. The person who did this, her name is Crackhead Barney.
Is that her given name?
That's her social media name, Crackhead Barney. And this happened in a restaurant coffee shop in New York yesterday. It was over the Hamas Gaza thing. And again, how can we trigger people into a response? She got the response, but this is the left's opportunity to co-opt very unwell people into doing their bidding. Let's watch this together.
Ali, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? I'm sorry. No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. I'm so sorry. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a fucking criminal. Come on, Alec, just say Free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Fuck Israel, fuck Zionism. Please say it. One time.
He goes full Baldwin here. Knocks phone out of her hand.
He's not emotionally well. You don't do that. I'm sorry. He is. There's
that's the one Baldwin you don't push.
Numerous videos of him. Like, didn't he fight over a... get into a fist fight over a park.
Oh, yeah, dude, he's been charged with assaulting like 10 photographers. He's like, I got no problem punching you in the fucking face.
What, you know what I want? I in life? And I understand the point you're trying to make about the extreme right and the extreme left. I want to live in my little bubble, and I have one. Like, we all have our little bubble.
Yeah.
Where I just hope that, and I understand that there's different ways of taking advantage of these people for your own benefit outside of maybe sitting them down and saying, hey, we got an idea. How would you like to, you know,
get a job,
cases of Kraft macaroni and cheese and water, and we're going to let you stay in this trailer. Yeah. Outside of that, I realize that there's more to co-opting this type of behavior to benefit a political message, but I kind of want to live in the world that I've created for myself where it's not organized, where it's just crazy people.
Totally organized.
I know
all of it's organized. I know you want to live in that world, but that's not the world we live in. There's a place that these people get the fuck Trudeau flags. That's another narrative that's going around. What kind of prime minister will this guy be if he wins? He's way ahead in the polls because Canada's full of fucking dummies. What kind of prime minister is this guy going to be who's got no problem standing next to some mentally unwell person saying he's going to bring Canada home to them? And his sea hag wife, who's standing there with a toothless grin going, you're going to keep winning, Mr. Polyev. Like, what kind of fucking message did he say? Now, hang on. They're all, am I mocking? 100%. And I'll tell you why I'm mocking these people. I'm mocking these people because they bought it. I also feel sorry for these people. Again, two things can be true at the same time, is that they truly believe they are warriors against
some cause,
woke
yeah.
culture. Stop. And they truly believe that if they put themselves in an unhealthy, unsanitary situation, disadvantage, the rest of us are going to look at them and go, you know what? They might be right.
They need to be
medicated. All of those people need to get jobs. All of those people need to get counseling. All of those people need literal fucking help, big time professional help. And Pierre Polyev showing up going, guys, I'm fighting for you. And he does. And here's the fucking crazy part. A couple of those videos.
Fuel to that victim.
One guy says to him, hey, do you have any questions for us? He goes, nope. Because he's not there to see how they're doing. He literally said that. They're like, do you have any, we're happy to answer any questions about what we're doing here. He's like, nope, I'm good. Then he went and got in his car, gave everybody the peace sign, stumbled into the car and took off. He was there for 45 minutes. And all he did was get content, and people around him were filming him. And he didn't bring an official camera crew because he showed up almost alone.
He doesn't need to. Everyone's on their phones. They're $1,500 phones streaming it live.
And listen, they're going to use this excuse like liberals use the excuse for the freak left. We're the party of everybody. That's an excuse. They don't give a shit about any of those people. Pierre Poilievre doesn't care if any of these guys freeze to death in their trunks. Doesn't care. He's using them for clickbait and to make Canada look bad. And he wants everybody out there to think that he cares. He doesn't. And I would venture a guess to say it's the same on the freak left too. So anyway, when you're watching these videos today and you're curating some kind of like, I hate this guy, I hate that guy. Hey man, you can hate him all you want, but what you need to do is hate what he's doing. And what he's doing is abusing mentally unwell people for his own personal political benefit.
Well, and the sad
and
thing
we
is,
we all should have a problem with that.
The sad thing is I mean, if I think there are things we need to work on. I think, you know, I think that we're in a bad place right now, but it's not what they think it is. I think the issues right now are about division, right? And unfortunately, all this is doing is just dividing us more, right? And I don't know. I take politics out of the equation for these people, I think they'd be in similar situations. Their lives would not be any different. Is that fair to say, Dean?
I don't know if they would be any different. I think they'd be angry about something. I think a lot of these people come from, you know, and I, if you're going to do the pathology on the freak right and the freak left, and listen, do I call them that because I want to get pejorative? No, you have to separate conservatives and liberals from that centrist capacity to what we're seeing. What we're seeing is a normal, right? It's the abuse of people who are unwell. And so I think every single one of those people comes from the same class of individual. And when I say that, I'm not saying it like, oh, they're poor. I'm not
saying
they're wrong. They're victims. They're people who have never been taught to have any agency over their lives at all. Been told that every bad thing that happens to them,
somebody else's fault.
Is someone else's fault. Right. So you've got literally unwell people that are being told everything that's happening to you is your fault. The fact you can't afford rent, your fault. It's their fault. The fact that you can't eat, their fault. Fact you can't find a job, their fault. Fact you didn't pay taxes, their fault. The fact that you got arrested for being an asshole, their fault. It's all their fault. And it depends on...
We all have family members and people we know work with that are like this.
Of course we do. And those are the people that are wrapped up in all this stuff. Because, and here's the catch. That victim class can't stomach the idea they might have a part in their own failure.
Yes. Right? That's the self-awareness piece that I'm currently in the middle of a situation with somebody that I, you know, unfortunately brought into the locker dome, and I saw signs and I talked myself out of it. Like there was three or four things that happened. And then finally I was like, I gotta cut bait here. And then the people that weren't really aware of it now are seeing how this individual is acting and going, oh, okay. Yeah. Locke was right. Yeah. He's like, and then all of a sudden there's all this stuff happening. Right. And it, everything that's happening is the result of the world's against this person.
Yeah. Big time.
And so they push back and try to hurt you as much as they possibly can, because it's just, it's
because
hard to
they
watch.
Can't, well, it's, and dude, like that's sort of the sleuthing hat. You know, if we had a sorting hat, Harry Potter, you put it on, people would be literally, it's like victim, not victim.
Yeah.
Those are the two. And you can tell a victim via the LARPing they do and the importance they place on themselves in some kind of greater war against themselves. Right.
Yeah.
So when you see people that are like this, you see people that are showing up to anti-trans rallies, hitting people with megaphones. When you see people, you know, protesting something they'll never change, ruining their lives, unemployed, uninterested in being employed. The reason why they do that is because real life is way too fucking hard for these people. Like way too hard for these people. And do I feel sorry for them? No,
but I feel sorry for whatever it was they went through that put them in that position. A lot of those people did not come from great homes. A lot of those people have had serious trauma in their lives that I feel sorry for. And you know, the really disgusting part is that our institutions use these people to paint them as that's all of those people, right?
Well, and so, but it's also a representation shows of everybody, right?
Totally.
It's
not. Pierre Poilievre shows up to that thing, dude. He shows up to a fuck Trudeau homeless encampment and he gives absolute authenticity to that mental illness. Like,
yeah,
he co-signs it because he uses these people that he doesn't give two shits about. None.
When you get into a situation that is like out of your hands, right? It's not hard to go down that path. You got to catch yourself. I have been dealing with a situation. I got let go by the last company that I worked for. And I made a point. I think I remember talking to you right out of the gates. I am not going to let this impact me. And I think that's why I got mad at you yesterday, because I feel proud about how I've handled this, right? I'm trying not to be the victim. I'm trying not to. And trust me, I have anger. I have a great deal of anger about what happened to me. But I'm trying to just move on and plow forward. I got a note from somebody that was listening to the Wendy podcast and reached out to me. And just his name is Dwayne. He goes, really enjoying your stuff lately and was a big fan of you and the boys on the locker room. I think they might be all in over their heads without you. I wish them well. And I do as well. I'm still in touch with Jimmy like almost on a daily basis. Keep up the good work. Seeing you take your firing with grace and humor helped me get through mine. He got fired on the exact same day and has become a big fan of the podcast. And reached out to me. I'm getting notes like that on a constant basis. And again, I knew that I would definitely be in a tough place. And it'd be really easy to blame everything that's happening to me on other things, outside things, and not take responsibility for what it is that I have to do next to get to those next steps. And I refuse to do that. And I'm slipping every once in a while. My wife will catch me and goes, I'm seeing some lock anger here. Do we need that right now? So I have good people around me that remind me that I'm going there. And it's not easy. It isn't, especially when you are so used to living a certain, like I used to get up, I had a great routine and now it's different. I've had to adapt, you know? Anyway, not that I need to make this about me. I've been doing that a lot lately on this podcast.
Yeah, no, we were just talking about the freak, right? You turned it right into you getting fired again. It was really,
I'm just trying to, I'm trying to help people with the victimhood. You have to be self-aware. You have to see where, you have to be aware of your own tendencies, right?
And that's really the biggest issue, that if you ask me what the biggest societal issue we have today, it's that lack of self-awareness. Right, which is common sense, which is okay. I got fired in your case, in my case. Yeah. I got fired, or in their case, I didn't get the job I want. My mom and dad got divorced. I have a bad relationship with my parents. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. And they carry that anger and resentment around, and it absolutely destroys their lives. Right.
Yeah.
Until someone comes around like Jordan Peterson or Pierre Poilievre and says, you have zero responsibility in your own life. And you know what? You know why? How I know that? Because it's their fault. And then everybody's like, oh, that means I'm not the loser I totally feel like I am, which every receipt in life is telling me I am. It's like, that's right. And if you join my team, we'll go get that guy. And you'll no longer be the victim that, you know, hang on. You'll no longer be the victim that you feel like you are. When really, the Jordan Petersons, the Pierre Poilievres, the conservative parties, in some cases, not so much the liberal parties, but political institutions and organizations who are like, listen, your failure has nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with them.
And that is the most dangerous thing to tell somebody who's a complete and total loser. Because all you're doing is saying, hey, guess what? You're a loser. We get it. But you're not losing because of you. You're losing because of them.
Remember that?
And that is like fucking absolutely 100% against every evolutionary psychologist's opinion of how you have a better life. Every single one. They all say the same thing. Every psychologist, you know what they say? You're responsible for your own behavior. You're responsible for how you respond to things. Nobody else is.
I stopped government. Teaching that at some point.
I know. Isn't it fucking awesome? It's why we have what we have. And then you've got people that are going, yeah, you know what? It's the government's fault. It's your teacher's fault. It's the mechanic's fault. It's your wife's fault. It's your husband's fault. Your kid's fault that your life sucks. No.
Justin Trudeau's fault.
Yeah, it is. And look at me. Look at me right in the face. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to do this. And this is going to be, make sure you timestamp this 104. Okay. Look at me. I want you to stare right at me. If your life sucks, really sucks, chances are it's your fault.
Or Justin Trudeau's. Remember that video? This was sort of a moment for me when we were talking about the convoy every day back in February. What was it, 2021?
Yeah.
When I first jumped on the podcast.
What a time to be alive that was.
Remember that video of the woman inside the car who was on her way to Ottawa because they'd shut her Facebook down?
April?
Yeah. The chick with the summer teeth. Summer here, summer there. Some guy comes up to the side of her Suburban.
To me, that's summed up. You know, that just said so much. She
drives in from Saskatchewan. She's got the camo sweater on. And she's like, she's got this giant wide face. She's got no teeth. They're like, what are you doing in Ottawa?
Shut my Facebook off. She would have stayed.
What are you doing in Ottawa? They say to April.
Saskatoon, working at the Circle K.
She's like, I'm sick of this shit. Remember that? She's like, you know why I'm here? I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because this is unfair. Can't get her information. And you know why I'm here personally? They shut my Facebook off. Now I'm mad. She says, they shut my Facebook off. Now I'm mad. I never saw her again. That was the only input she had into whatever terrible success the convoy had. But it really signified what we're talking about here is the corralling of some of the most mentally ill victims this country has to offer.
It's kind of sad, right? Yeah. It is.
Oh, it's totally sad.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh though sometimes.
Sometimes you have to, like, I mean, we laughed unnecessarily at April, and we laughed very heartily at April, but that was a very funny moment. Like, just,
but we come from a time when you know how we've allowed people, we'll end with this. You know how we've allowed people the space to be themselves now? Like, it was a big thing for a long time. Now everybody's like, yeah, we're done with that. We've allowed really stupid people the space to think they're smart. Like we have. Dumb people used to go, I know I'm dumb. I don't want to talk because I know I'm dumb. Now those dumb people are like, wait a second. Other dumb people are speaking up. And a certain segment of society is taking them seriously. Well, now is my time to shine with all the other dumb people. And so then they get together and then they got political organizations and religious organizations going, it's okay. You can be dumb over here because we need your help. It's like, okay, here I go. I'm going to go over there and be dumb with those people. And now stupid is like legitimately an alternative opinion. Wait, let's wait. Let's wait and see what the stupids have to say. Oh, dude. And it exists on the freak left and the freak right. It does. It just does. And then all of us are sitting in the middle going, hey, remember back in like the 90s when we used to like mercilessly mock stupid people when they were publicly stupid and they did stupid things that made no congruent sense whatsoever, not constructive, got caught in lies, showed up hammered to homeless fuck Trudeau parties. Like, remember when we used to mock those people? Yeah, I do. That's the time I come from. I think we should bring it back. And I think we should be merciless. I think we should be, merciless where it matters. Left. No, I want to do it to them too. Like that's where I'm at. It's equal opportunity mockery of the ideas, not dunking on the people, the ideas that these people are coming up with, which is like, dude, you're wasting your time and your life and your energy doing this. What are you doing? I got to do this for me. I got to do this because I've been told that I'm a cog in the warrior wheel and I'm going to like, we need to start actually calling these people out for what they are and either getting them help or if they're taking advantage of those victims.
Yeah.
Then we need to severely kneecap them by mocking them and laughing at them. That's the only way. It's the only thing that's going to work.
I think the highlighting what you did at the beginning of this conversation about how this is that politics is co-opting this to paint a picture of Canada and the need for change. I think that is more productive. And the fact that you set it up that way, I think makes it more palatable for me anyway, just based on my sensibilities. Because like I said, my bubble, and I admitted it, is I want these people to exist in isolation. I don't want to think about the fact that they're being used, taken advantage of for some political gain, but they are, right? And it's unfortunate that they're not aware of it. And maybe highlighting that has more impact than, right? Maybe. Than just dunking on what is
I feel sorry for those people, dude.
Population.
Yeah, man, I feel sorry for these people. Yeah. Like I legitimately feel sorry for them. I feel sorry that they have to be part of this flywheel of like power grabbing and lying and co-opted for these political purposes. Like these people are working really hard for all the wrong reasons and not doing anything for themselves. Like they're giving all their agency to other fucking people. Yeah. Will turn around when this is done and just fuck those people over. Like that's exactly what these guys will do. And by the way, the liberals will do the same to the freak left. There's no difference. It's all the same.
Pretty sure that the woman in the fleece jacket, I'm pretty sure that's Kathy. And the Yak Community Hall is not getting cleaned because she's in Nova Scotia right now. I'm pretty sure I grew up with her.
Look at these teeth.
We got the donations from everybody that's been stopped by.
There, I know she worked weekends at the Owl's Nest. She ran the pool tournament.
Got a fucking diesel generator in there. And that's Kathy. She brushed two of her teeth today.
It's so sad. So sad.
Yeah, not really.
It is what it is. Anyway, time for the locker room retro replay of the day. What do you have for us today, sir?
It's brought to you by Arden Roof Systems. Sign up for the golf tournament by going to ardenroofsystems.com. It is closing in on your chance to miss out on the early bird pricing. End of April, May 1st, it goes up. Great cause, Stollery Child Life Program. 4 years, Stacy's held this tournament, Arden Roof Systems Charity Golf Tournament. He's raised $65,000. We got some great sponsors on board. Some sponsor opportunities still available. By the way, Motley Q signed up on a hole, so you'll be getting brisket when you golf as well. This one, Dean, while this is playing, do me a favor.
Yeah.
I want you to Google two names, okay? Mm-hmm. David Holthouse. That's H-O-L-T, House. And Evan Stone, okay? You'll see why in a minute once you Google
it. The Lock Retro Replay.
I did a little search for it yesterday because I saw an article about it, and I heard it's really good. No hockey on last night, and I yelled at my remote, Sasquatch! It popped up.
There's like a good 420 show.
There was three episodes, and I managed to get through one before crashing last night.
So this is a story about Sasquatch murdering some pot farmers.
Yes.
Right?
In California. I need you to Google David Holthouse.
David Holt.
H-O-L-T House.
Okay, got him.
Now, Google Evan Stone.
Evan Stone. The porno star?
Look at them, though.
How do you know who this guy is? They look the exact same.
Evan Stone.
They look like the same person.
No, I haven't got that far yet. Sausage fingers here. David Holthouse. Look at David. And then Google Evan Stone. I was really thrown off.
How did you make that comparison? Like, do you watch a lot of Evan Stone's work?
I've seen his porns, okay? He shows up occasionally. They look exactly alike.
They do.
They like, look
that
exactly.
That looks like the exact same person. What's your favorite work of his?
Listen.
This ain't Star Trek. Space Nuts.
He does a lot of parody stuff.
This ain't Star Trek 3. The Sex Files.
Jimmy?
Pee-wee's Triple X Adventure.
Look at how much they look alike.
Yeah, they do look a lot alike.
Wolverine Triple X. Sisters of Anarchy.
Anyway, the Sasquatch series looks really good. I couldn't get past the fact that...
Trash nurses.
There you go. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Did you take a look at the pictures?
They look exactly the same. Exactly the same.
I have a picture I can show you. You want me to?
Sure.
I'll try to share my screen here. You're way better at it than I am, but.
That's because I prepare for it ahead of time instead of trying to drop it on you at the end of a podcast.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. I got it. I found it.
All right. Let's have a look. Yeah, it's got to be the same guy.
It's not
fucking uncanny.
It's not the same guy. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, and I have seen Sasquatch, by the way. It's a great series. You haven't seen it?
Yes. Very funny. It's very brilliant. I think it's still on Netflix if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Yeah, it is on Netflix. By the way, so is Fallout. Highly encourage everybody to watch that. And I got to watch the Neil Brennan doc or the Neil Brennan comedy special on Netflix you were talking about too. Need to watch that.
If you get a chance, you should watch that. It's called Crazy Good. Neil Brennan is tied with David Chappelle. What was it the David Chappelle show or was there an earlier version of that show?
No, there's Chappelle show. Yeah. He was involved in Chappelle show. Yep.
He was a producer slash writer and was a part of the success of that. And he's kind of at that. I don't know. Where would you put him on the hierarchy of fame in the
Neil Brennan? I don't know. I have no idea. I knew of him, but I haven't heard about him for years until you
mentioned. He's one of those guys that you see a picture of him, you'll go, oh, okay. But he's not a Seinfeld. He's probably not a Bert Kreischer. He's kind of bubbles underneath, but he's really smart. And the reason why I was watching his comedy special yesterday and he goes hard in the paint, he's got this premise on religion where he thinks we should treat religion like politics and they should have to compete against each other. And then we vote for just having one. Yeah. Oh my God. You got to watch it, Dean. It was as soon as I saw it, I was like, I was going to call you. I'm like, Dean needs to watch this. Right,
it's like
now.
Survivor for religion, where you take all the religions, pit them against each other, and then you take a vote. Dude. You have one religion, dude. It would be over. I would vote for none of them. Can't wait to watch this.
Anyway, it's really good, and I disagree with you adamantly that Fallout's good. It's strange. Yeah. I'm not a gamer. A lot of people were defending it from the perspective of the game.
Yeah, but dude, it's so good though. It's different than Last of Us, but video adaptation wise, it's
right there with Last of Us. Okay. As far if you've played the video game, then you'll know what I'm talking about. If you played Fallout, Moskrop is a massive fan. He turned me on to it.
Anyway, I started watching it. I've watched a couple of episodes. It's pretty decent. Who's that guy that plays the ghoul? That actor's name? I've seen him a few times.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, he's he Goggins? Plays Cooper. Yeah, Kenny Goggins.
Yeah. Oh my God,
Yeah, he's good. Plays the ghoul. He's incredible.
So good in that. In Fallout, he's unbelievable. He's for me, he's saving it.
Oh, dude! Not only is he incredible, but the fucking gore in that thing—like you think you're watching a video game movie? You're not. You're watching some of the most surprisingly gory shit you will ever see in your life, and it is so good. It comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like Last of Us, right? Kind of the same that way, where you're like, oh my God, this is fucking intense. What are you doing? Yeah. Why are they eating that person? Why'd they cut that guy's
head off?
I'm a
way bigger fan of Last of Us than Fallout, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah,
different. Me. Good. Anyway. All right, buddy.
Oh, and you got to finish Shogun. I'm going
to get to that this weekend. All right. Thanks, Ben. Talk to you soon. Lachlan Cross, at Lachlan Cross. You can follow him on Twitter. And you can sub to the Locker Room YouTube page, wherever you get your content for the Locker Room. Retro Replay, of course, brought to you by our friends and partners at ardentroofsystems.com. If you're in the Edmonton area, you need a roof, eaves, siding. These guys are super trustworthy. Make sure you get a quote from him and only him. Stacy Disitel and his group are Owens Corning Platinum Partners. So thank you to them. Also, thank you to our other partners, MuseMassageSpa.com, for making this podcast possible. Go to MuseMassageSpa.com and get in contact with the ladies in the contact section. Emily and Riley will give you the Dean tour. That's right. You get a little discount. Actually, it's a thick discount. And then you get to have a discreet experience. It's therapeutic. You'll love it. These girls are also educators. Go to Muse Massage Spa for all those details and to check out their new podcast called Muse on the Mic. You can get the uncensored version at Patreon. Go on Muse on the Mic Patreon. Go Muse on the Mic YouTube if you want the censored version, where you get to learn about advocates in the sex work industry who not only advocate, they educate, and they're fierce, fierce entrepreneurs. You can learn a thing or two about that as well. Muse on the Mic, Patreon, Muse on the Mic, YouTube, MuseMassageSpa.com, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Ontario, Canada's number one body rub parlor. Also brought to you by our friends at Fact Check. Go to factcheck.io for more information on how you can use disinformation killing software. They are building a city, and it takes a village to raise this little baby from this little concept to literally the most robust software that has ever existed when it comes to giving you agency over what you read, whether it's text, video, pictures, whether it's spoken word in real time. Fact Check software builders have built the most incredible disinformation killing opportunity for you to take with you everywhere you go. They want you to check their beta test out. And if you would like to, they would like you to join their beta team. Become a verified fact checker. Go to factcheck.io, factcheck.io. If you're not interested in disinformation and if you want to know where it comes from and who the bad actors are, which tweets, which ones you can trust, which sources you can, which ones you don't, they let you make that decision yourself with the best source material that anybody can find in a post-truth world. Factcheck.io. Check their beta test out today. Have a wonderful day, everybody. See you tomorrow on this very program. I can't remember who we have tomorrow. Doesn't really matter. We'll be back. Hopefully we'll be prepared then. As you can tell, that it's very important to me. Very important. Very. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.